Anyway, so we're supposed to talk about how to prepare a halacha shir, so I guess at some point there could be no gaya for everybody, right? So I think the point of these things, from the way it was described to me, and tell me if it was described to you differently, because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to do the wrong thing over here, is that this is meant to be like a three-part series, like a half hour each time, just to like go through a topic, like how to prepare a halacha shir, and it should be a small group, so we got that part down. And it should be, I guess, interactive, a lot of questions, those kinds of things. Was that your impression also? Yeah, okay. Yeah, we were all, no one was sold the bill of goods. Okay, so I think, considering that it's, you know, it's going to be today, and then Monday, and then Thursday, so there's three parts, I thought it would make sense to divide this concept of how to prepare halacha shir into three parts. First part is going to be how to learn the sugya in order to be able to say halacha shir. Second is going to be how to actually prepare the shir, meaning now that you've learned the sugya, how to organize the material and you know, and get it ready for presentation to others. And then third is how to actually present it, meaning how to actually give the shir. So today we're going to talk about how to learn the sugya. But keep in mind that we're not discussing today how to be a posek. That's a very different thing. How to give halacha shir is very different than how to be a posek. In the smicha program, they have me give a talk once a year on the art of psak, which is a little bit more of how to be a posek. And I mean, how to be a posek is very easy to describe. It's just hard to do. You have to know halacha really, 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 really well, and understand the sugyas that it's based on, and understand human sensitivity. It's like you could describe it in like a paragraph, but it's just like very, very hard to do. But that's not what this is. This is not how to be a posek. Just yesterday, I had the opportunity, together with a bunch of my chaverim, to meet with Rav Yisachar Friend, among other rabbanim, but Rabbi Yisachar Friend in the morning in Eretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Friend, who you guys have heard of? No, I'm just joking. Rabbi Friend has been giving halacha shiurim for 40 years. Every week he gives a shiur of halacha related to the parsha. They just celebrated 40 years of. It's got to be hard to come up with topics every year on something related to the parsha for 40 years running. And one of my chaverim asked Rabbi Friend, I'm trying to remember who it was, I think it was Rabbi Isaac Rice, that asked Rabbi Friend, he's you guys know Rabbi Isaac Rice? When he heard we were meeting Rabbi Friend, he said, oh good, I have a Google Doc of questions to ask Rabbi Friend. He's like been keeping for 20 years as he's listening to Rabbi Friend. If you know Rabbi Rice, like, you get a geschmack out of that, because that's exactly what you'd expect him to have. but anyway, so one of his questions to Rabbi Friend is that you always say in your shiurim, I'm not a posek, but, this is the sugya, but I'm not a posek. You need to consult a posek. So he said, you've been giving halacha shiurim for 40 years. You're a shiur in Yisrael. Like, what makes you not a posek? Like, why do you keep saying you're not a posek? Why aren't you a posek? Which, is a pretty good question. And Rabbi Friend said, look, I don't learn these sugyas like a posek would learn these sugyas. I learn these sugyas to present the sugyas in a clear way to an audience. That's very different than a posek. Meaning, when you're preparing a halacha shiur, you're trying to present the sugya on the whole. You're not trying to give a mahalich in halacha. Meaning, it's a very different kind of thing. We later met yesterday with Rabbi Heinemann. You could see the difference. Rabbi Heinemann, if he was giving a halacha shiur, would not be giving you the full picture of the sugya. He'd be giving you his mahalich in the sugya that leads to his psak halacha, because he very much decidedly is a posek, right? Meaning, and that's his goal. So the point is not to discuss how to become a posek. The point is to discuss how to give halacha shir. And there are many poskim that aren't really great at giving halacha shirim, and there are many people that are pretty good at giving halacha shirim and aren't really great poskim. I'm glad we went around discussing first what you plan on giving shir on, because it's not abundantly clear that halacha is necessarily the very best thing. Halacha chabur is necessarily the very best thing to be doing with high school kids, to be learning with kids, meaning in terms of the priorities of what they need to know. It's not abundantly clear that a halacha bi'iyun kind of chabur is what they need to know at the ground level. But it does have significant advantages. Meaning, when I say that it's not abundantly clear, is that there are certain like basics that probably kids need to know first, just in their development and learning. Like there are certain like basic sugyas in Nashim Nezikin, and there's certain basic sugyas in Klalim, Asei Dochalos, Asei, you know, things like that, that they should just, like anyone when they're starting out learning, like you got to learn those, you know, those topics. You got to learn like the basic, know how Gemara works a little bit, and learn the basic Yesodistika sugyas and Shas. So probably that would be prioritized in terms of like, what's most important for them to learn. Or, you know, if you're dealing with kids who are I don't want to say what the background is that would demand this, but there are certain kids that probably would be best served and need to be prioritized, Ikarei Amuna and things of that nature. So in that sense, it's not abundantly clear that Halacha Bi'iyun is always the best thing to do with kids, but keep in mind, you're NCSY Kolel Madrichim, you're not the Rebbeim in the morning. So hopefully the Rebbeim in the morning are doing a little more of the meat and potatoes, which gives you a little more leeway to give exposure to other things. So it's not like it's up to you to provide the foundations. They also go to school during the year, right? So it's not necessarily up to you to provide the foundations upon which you need to build the Talmud Chacham. And even if that were up to you, and you're assuming that they're getting those foundations somewhere else, or you're assuming that they get those foundations somewhere else, there are several advantages to learning Halacha with high school kids. First of all, the relevance is unmatched in any other area of Limud. As much as Hashkafa is relevant, and as much as Alumdus is Geschmack, and you may be able to make it relevant just because it's relevant that I'm happy right now, and if I just got a Geschmack out of something, then that's relevant. You know, I'm reminded when Rav Mendel Blachman many years ago was saying he still says Shir and Kerem Yavne, but many years ago, the stories from many years ago, someone asked him, Rebbe, Lamai Nafkamina? And he said, Nafkamina is whether you know how to learn or you don't know how to learn. Meaning there is that. There's, you know, there's relevance to just knowing how to learn, but in terms of kids seeing relevance, there's nothing that matches Halacha in terms of being able to see and recognize relevance. Also, Halacha is easy in the sense that it's a process that you can follow with a clear beginning and a clear end. Right? It starts with a pasuk and it ends with a hachra lahalacha, or it ends with a machlokas haposuk, meaning there's like, it goes down the generations, meaning lamdus, it doesn't have a clear beginning or a clear end. There are a lot of other areas of limud. Hashkafa doesn't have a clear beginning and a clear end. There are a lot of other areas of limud that don't have a clear beginning, clear end, and a clear process of how to get from one place to the next. Halacha does, meaning halacha has been so finely developed in a consistent way by poskim. In later generations, it moves a little bit, but you know, in a consistent way by poskim, has been so clearly developed that there's a clear beginning and a clear end to the process, and it's a process that you can easily follow along. In lamdas, you can go in 1,000 different directions, and you could say telzer chakiras or brisker chakiras, or you know, or a million other types of approaches. So I always found teaching in high school that kids appreciated when they came in knowing like what the game plan was, you know, that you know, even when I taught Chumash, like the way I taught Chumash was like we had 4 days a week of Chumash class, so like they knew that on Monday we're just going to give an overview of that week's parsha. On Tuesday we're going to do Parsha Nut on a particular section, Ramban and Ebenezer or whatever. On Wednesday we're going to do some sugya lahalacha that emerges from the parsha. On Thursday we're going to do some Musar and Drush that emerges from that. And they just knew that like that was the mahalich, and that was and whether that was the right mahalich or not, but having a mahalich is very important, and having a plan is very important. With halacha, the plan is sort of like written for you, so it makes it much better. And also, when you learn halacha, you could also incorporate lamdas and hashkafa also, because it's all hafochba vafochba dekulaba. In the halacha, you cannot divorce halacha from lamdas, and you cannot even really divorce halacha from hashkafa. But again, that's maybe a discussion for one of the later shiurim. So let's talk today about learning the sugya. If I were to tell you, this may be surprising, of the three steps, learning the sugya, preparing the shiur, and saying over the shir, right? Saying over is a Yiddishism. Is that not English? My son in his NCS, so I call him Madrich thing. I look forward most to giving over chaburas or something like that. So that's Yiddishism, right? That's not English, right? Okay, but when most people are preparing to teach and to share Torah, the step that is most often skipped is this step, is learning the sugya, which is like shocking. Like, how can you teach if you don't know, right? And yet, people assume that they can learn in morning seder, whatever they're going to learn, Gemara Bi'iyun, and then, you know, pick up an entirely new topic that I'm going to say chaburas on that I never really learned, that I don't really know the topic. I'm only just figuring out how to say it without, before even having yet figured out, you know, before having a tfisa in the topic that I plan on saying. So, it can be done. You can do it. You can find a nice article and something and just, you know, figure out how to say it and how to present it without looking up any makoros. Just the second anyone asks you a question, you'll be blown out of the water. I mean, if you have no real tfisa of the sugya. So, first, let's talk about how to pick a sugya, and then we'll talk about how to learn the sugya. So sometimes the sugya, there are two ways that I could think of to pick a sugya. Sometimes the sugya picks itself, meaning sometimes you'll have a halacha shir that either is picked for you, the topic is picked for you. Someone says this is what you need to teach because you are now a 10th grade halacha rebbe for whatever, for the B track in whatever, you know, and that's your assignment. And this year they learn Hilchos Shabbos. So okay, so that's what you have to teach. But or like sometimes maybe you want to give a shiur on interesting shailas that come up over the course of that week or whatever. So the sugya picks itself. It's whatever shailas came up. So that's the sugya that picks itself. That's easier if you don't have to pick a sugya. Then there are times where you can take a topic, or what I prefer to do, several dapim of Gemara. Let's say if you know that you have talmidim in front of you, or again, high school students that you're going to be learning with in front of you for the next 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks, and you're going to be with them every day, except for trip days and other days and this thing, whatever. But you're going to be with them on a consistent basis. Where at the end of the summer, they're going to think they were with you every day, right? They're going to think back to it in that way. It's helpful. I do this every year in with the Keli Masvidims. I try to pick like a sugya that's 2, 3, 4 block Gemara, and find that's packed with halachic sugyas. And obviously, if it's within 2, 3, 4 block Gemara, they're all related to each other. For example, Hilchos Yichud is all in the last 2 block Maseches Kiddushin. Hilchos Machali Akum is all there, starting the Daf Lamed Maseches Avodah Zarah. Hilchos Kibud Av Va'Em is all condensed in pretty much in one area, Maseches Kiddushin. Hilchos Mezuzah or Tefillin or Tzitzis is all condensed in a few dapim in Maseches Menachos. This year I'm doing Hilchos Geirus. It's all in 3 dapim in Maseches Yevamos. So I like to pick 3 dapim of Gemara, and what I find helpful is before learning it, just read through the Gemara quickly so you can identify which sugyas come up. And like if I know that I have, meaning sometimes it's helpful to zoom out a little bit and say, not just prepare a shir and then another shir. I have 6 weeks. So I'm going to give over the course of 6 weeks, I don't know, 20 chaburas, let's say, or whatever. I don't know, whatever the number of chaburas. Less?
16, yeah.
16, okay. So that's in Camp Keli, that's I basically give somewhere between 16 and 20 shiurim, usually about 20 shiurim every, I mean, give 20 shiurim a day in Keli, but I'm saying 20, morning even shiurim in Keli. So what I do is I'll read through those 3 block Gemara, and I'll make a list of the 20 sugyas that I want to learn, and I'll prepare, and I'll try to make it that each one is self-contained, but they're all related to each other because it's 20 topics. Because otherwise, you get lost in a topic or a sugya, and then it gets stale. But we didn't finish all the marmakomos that I wanted to do on this topic, and we were supposed to do your Gimli Ikari Emunah, but the kids come out of the summer thinking that there's only one Ikari Emunah. They're not even Rav Yosef Albo people. They're like because they never got to 13 Ikari Emunah. So if you have 13 Ikari Emunah, let's say, and this is not only for Halacha, it's even for Hashkafa, you can say, okay, there are going to be 16 chaburas. first one will be an introduction to Ikari Emuna. The next 13 will be one on each of the Ikari Emuna. Then one recap or didn't know or what the dinim are of being an apikores, you know, or something like that. You know, and you can figure out how to plan it that way. But to look begadol. So when you're preparing a halacha, a limud over a period of time, I find it's very helpful to do that. So just to read through the Gemara quickly, identify 15, 20 topics to give shiraman. And you could cheat at that stage also. You could look, see in the back of the Masifta where the raid is and where the major discussions are, you know, and when you're making that list. Then it comes to actually learning the sugya, actually going through the sugya. So if you're preparing a halacha shir, and again, this is pre-preparation. This is the limud that has to go in before you begin the actual preparation of the shir. And it will be frustrating because it can be frustrating because if you think of it like, I just spent 3 hours in the Beis Medrash and I still have no idea what I'm going to say, that's because you need to learn before you prepare a shir. So when you're at the limud stage, and that's the whole stage we're talking about today, it's somewhat difficult if you never learned that way before. It's a little bit different than learning in a more lumdus oriented environment or more lumdus oriented expectation. The concept of sukkah shmaitza libidilchsa is, you know, I don't need to sell you on the concept of a sukkah shmaitza libidilchsa. The Gemara sells you on this. I mean, there are kama mar makomos about the value of a sukkah shmaitza libidilchsa. But the reality is that it's not the experience of most yeshivas. So it's not the way that. So to spend 2 weeks schwitzing over a Rashba is a great experience. It's not going to help you in terms of preparing a halacha shir for the most part. I mean, begadol, every experience you have in learning, begadol will, you know, or if you're on a certain madrega, you know, and you have the time and the hasmada to do that with all of Shas, so then yeah, it will help you in the preparation of halacha shir. Like I was, Rabbi Josh Flug from Boca Raton told me that Rav Rosenzweig was a scholar in residence in West Hempstead, and his brother asked him. His brother lives in West Hempstead, Adam Flug. He asked him, like, what should we ask Rav Rosenzweig to talk about? So he said, Bitcoin. You should ask him to talk about Bitcoin. And he's like, what? Why would I ask Rav Rosenzweig of all people to talk about Bitcoin? Meaning that's like, you know, you want one of the halacha people to talk about Bitcoin. So Rabbi Flug said, I've asked every Rosh Yeshiva and every posek that's come through Boca, and a lot of people come through Boca, about Bitcoin. The only one that had the entire sugya already cheshbened out in his head was Rabbi Rosenzweig. So, but that's a madrega that, like, you're not going to get to for a long, long time, if ever. Meaning, the exercise of going through the lumdus in that intense and, you know, time-consuming way is ultimately helpful to halacha. But as far as when you're going to be preparing a shir, it's not really helpful. Meaning, when you're going to be preparing a shir, you're going to have to look at a sugya a little bit differently. Not to be mafalpo, but to really try to focus only on those rishonim that actually play a role in the development of the halacha, not to look at 1,000 different rishonim, because the Beis Yosef didn't. And the Beis Yosef looked at more Rishonim than we think. He gives a list and knocked them to the Beis Yosef of dozens and dozens of Rishonim that he looked at. But his point in giving that list is, I don't look at all the Rishonim. I only look at these, whatever, 2 dozen or so Rishonim. But we know. I mean, you learn through a sukkah, Gemara, Rashi, Tosos, Rush, Ran, you know, Rambam, and then, you know, you've pretty much hit the Rishonim. Certain parts of Shulchan Aruch is based on Torah Sabayis of the Rashba or whatever, but those are basically the Rishonim you need to look at in order to prepare halacha. And that's, again, that's different. It's a different type of limud when you're at Lasuk Yishmait Salib Dilchus. And then you go through the Torah in the Beis Yosef. You can go through years and years of yeshiva with never opening up a Torah Beis Yosef. But if you're learning, let's say, for example, Hilchos Yichud or Hilchos Machal Yaakov or Hilchos anything, and it's a particular section of Shulchan Aruch, or even if you're doing topics here and there, you need to go through the Torah in the Beis Yosef, because that's who develops, that's who bridges the Gemara to the Shulchan Aruch, to the Halacha. And you won't necessarily be able to connect the dots on your own unless you see the bridge. They have to, like, walk you over the bridge in order for you to understand how one step leads to the next. It's a very valuable exercise to learn how to do. even if it's not the way you learn throughout the majority of the year. It's a very, very worthwhile exercise to learn how to do. You know, the Gemara tells us that in Shabbos, Daf Kof Lamed Ches, Nichnasu Rabbi Seinu LeKeren BiYavne, that when Rabbi Seinu entered Keren BiYavne, Keren BiYavne is not the modern day Keren BiYavne. First of all, it was in Yavne, not Ashdod, but it was called Keren BiYavne because they sat shuros kikerem. They sat in rows like a vineyard. Where a vineyard, you ever see a vineyard that's set up nicely like rows? It's also meant to be metaphorical that Yavne is a bunch of sand dunes, and it's not really a likely place that you'd be able to plant a kerem. And that's representative of the Torah, that the Torah itself, you would think that it's not something that can thrive in certain places. But Kerem Yavne is meant to be metaphorical, that the Torah it could be planted anywhere, and that it can grow anywhere. But anyway, the Gemara says that Amar Asid the Torah Shetishtakach Mi Yisrael, Shenemar, Pasuk in Amos says, Hine Yom Boim Nu Mashem, Elokim Vishlachti Rav Bar, Tzol Rav Lachem Lotzim Lamayim, Kim Lashmos Es Divrei Hashem. That the Navi says that there's going to be a time where Torah is going to be forgotten, where people are going to be starving and thirsty, not hungry for bread, not thirsty for water, but to hear the Dvar Hashem. And it's going to, and he quotes another pasuk in Amos, the Gemara quotes another pasuk in Amos, the very next pasuk, you know, Mayim Ad Yam, Mitzafon Ad Mizrach, Vishotu Tu Levakish Dvar Hashem, Vliyimsu Dvar Hashem. And they're not going to find Dvar Hashem. Dvar Hashem Zu Halacha. That's a reference to Halacha. They're not going to find Halacha. So the Gemara says that what does it mean? They're not going to find halacha. I'm skipping around in the Gemara. The Gemara says ultimately it means that layimtzu halacha brura mishum brura b'makam echad. That they're not going to find halacha brura mishum brura b'makam echad, which means that there is this bifurcation of limud bi'iyun and halacha, where people who are learning bi'iyun don't know any halacha, and people who are learning halacha don't know how to learn, don't know how to learn a sugya properly. And it's important that we should not allow that to happen, that we should sort of fight that and sort of create a method of learning where we're able to learn through Sugya LaHalacha. That's what the Minchas Yitzchak writes in his Hakdama to the fourth Chelik of Tshuvas Minchas Yitzchak. He says, "Bedoros Achronim Nisparda Chavili." He says, things have fallen apart. Shalomdim Shasim Farshim Eindim Lomdim Shulchan Aruch Poskim. People who learn Shasim Farshim don't learn Shulchan Aruch Poskim. Valomdim Shulchan Aruch Eindim Lomdim Hadei Ketev B'Mukara Inyan B'Shas Rishonim. And the people who are learning Shulchan Aruch aren't learning the Sugya as well. They're not learning in Shas and Rishonim properly. So therefore you're not coming out with proper halachic conclusions. He says, Valzet is only in Hanavi bin Vasushli Mishra Brura, Hainu Amakarbashas, Valacha Brura, Hainu Alachalamaisa, Bimakam Echad. He says that's what the Gemara is interpreting from the Navi Namus. That's what it means. That you don't have Mishra Brura and Alacha Brura Makam Echad is that and by the way, if you are teaching halacha, I always make it a point, if it's an extended period of time, it's not just a one-off halachah shir. Sometimes they even do it on a one-off halachah shir. Make it a point to explain the value of learning halacha, and explain why it's important and what it means even. Because a lot of times, certainly a high school student's entire exposure to learning halacha was learning a list of facts, which is the exact definition of what the Gemara says, not having mishum brur and halacha brur makam echad. That to just learn a bunch of rules, meaning there's Gemara Shir, and that's when I learn, that's when I'm exerting myself in learning. And then there's Halacha, where I'm told Dinim, and I have to memorize all these Dinim. And that is the tragedy. That's why Halacha is the most boring limud in the world, when it should be the most exciting limud in the world. So to explain that whatever you've learned until now was Dinim. When you learn Halacha, it means that you're really learning a Sugya, that you're really learning you're learning the development of the halacha. You're learning the how halacha makes sense, how it's derived from the pasuk to the. You know, my friend Rabbi Shai Shechter always points out that he thought that in high schools they should teach halacha from Yechavadas, from Rav Adya's Yechavadas. Like that would be the best way to teach halacha, because what does he do? First of all, it's not like Yabi Yomer, where it's just overwhelming. Which just like goes through, starts with the pasuk and the Gemara and the basic Rishonim. It doesn't get too fancy. Doesn't get and Shulchan Aruch and some later poskim and then a sikum. Then he comes to a conclusion of halacha. That's probably the best way to express the limud of halacha. There, the Mishnah in the fourth paragraph of Pirkei Avos, Rabbi Shmuel Beno Omer Halomid Al Menasa Lamid Masvikim Biyad Alumal Lamid. halomid almanas lasos maspikim biado lilmud lami lishma vlasos. Again, there are a plethora of marmakomos suggesting that the ikkulim ratorah is lasu gishmaitza libedil. So, again, I'm not here to sell that. Listen to any one of Rav Shechter's mishmashos in the base medrash ever. You know, that's like been his battle cry. And you know, the Gra on Mishlei in Parashat Gimel says Tachlis v'Iker Esa Katora Hu Kedei Leida Haderech HaKvusha VaYishara Leilich BaLavod Hashem, that the purpose of all Limud Torah is to know how to do Avodas Hashem. And Reb Chaim Blazner writes in his introduction to the Bira Gra in Shulchan Aruch, V'zeh Kol Pri Limud Hashas LaHotzi Mimenu Halach LaMaisa. That's the purpose of all Limud Shas, is to be able to derive halacha lemaisa from it. And that's true even in the sugyas that you don't think of halacha lemaisa. Like you think, oh, the sugyas that I mentioned, those could be learned for halacha. But if I learn ksubas, those can't be learned. Like Ebenezer is also halacha, right? To learn, someone once asked Rav Lichtenstein whether they'd be better served. Rav Lichtenstein is a big champion of women's learning, right? Of women learning Torah Shabbatah. So someone asked him if they'd be better served at least picking those sugyos or those masechtos that are halacha l'maisa, so that it'll be relevant. And women have to learn halacha. So the person was thinking, brachas Shabbos, right? So Lichtenstein said, yeah, start with Metziah, because how do you not know the din of Metziah and ribbis and like all that? Like that's also halacha l'maisa. That's also, but everything is halacha l'maisa. So you have to go through the process, meaning, and that's the hard part and the part that most people skip when they teach halacha, and it cannot be skipped. To really learn through the sugya, Gemara Rashi tells us Rashran Tor Beis Yosef Shulchan Aruch Nosa Kelim, take notes as you go. At least I always found that that's very helpful. Make note of which elements of the sugya are highlighted by those Rishonim that formulate the halacha, and which ones are not, because you have to weed out what you're going to focus on and what you're not going to focus on. Even when I taught Chumash, Rav Shechter told me to focus on those Mefarshim whose explanations in Chumash we paskin like more so than those whose explanations in Chumash we don't paskin like. But certainly when you're going through a sugya la'alacha, you can see the Rishonim that developed la'alacha, which parts of the Gemara that they're focused on, and take note of that as you go. And make sure you know the sugya. They have a tefisa of the sugya. So if someone asks a kasha, you could say, that's what the Gemara says, that the Mishnah Nedios says that the Mishnah wants to know, why do we have to mention a Das Yachid in Mishnayis if we know that the halacha is going to be like the Rabbim anyway? So the Mishnah says, so if someone asks, I have an idea, why don't we say this way? You can tell them, yeah, that was thought of already in a previous generation. There was a Tana Reb Meir, and he was outvoted, and we don't paskin like him, but he said the same idea, something like that. So when you go through a sugi, you have to know everything in the sugi. If someone's going to say a svara, you say, that's a good svara, that's Shita Saravid, but we paskin like the Rambam, and that's how it was, again, in Lamedus, you have to explain the Ravid and the Rambam, right? But and even sometimes in developing the halacha, you need to know what it is about the Ravid that the Rambam didn't like, and you have to be able to go through that also. That's what someone once said. I'm trying to remember who said the line, that Reb Chaim's chiddush in learning was that when you learn a Rambam Ravid, it was that they both knew how to learn. Right? As opposed to saying everyone else for all the years was just trying to figure out who's right. And Reb Chaim's chiddush was, no, they're both right. They both know how to learn. You just have to figure out the way each one was looking at the sugya. So the Kitzur Advarim, it's already 4:30. Kitzur 4:32. Sorry, Kitzur Advarim is that you need to learn. If you're going to prepare Allah Kashir, you need to train yourself to learn Ali B'dilksa. Next time, if anyone comes back, we'll talk about the actual preparation of a shir. Once you've gone through the sugya, like how to then put it into a format that will be give overable, and then the time after that we'll talk about some tricks of presentation and maybe give a dugma or two. Okay, have a great day, everybody.
Thank you.